This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My guests on Bent Notes tonight are Melbourne saxophonist, composer, researcher and educator Rob Burke and Monash University student Ash Ballett. Welcome to the studio.
Great to be here.
Now, you're here because Monash University is doing a few things at the Melbourne International Jazz Festival.
That's right.
It is indeed. And you're doing things with some of the artists who come out to the uni and run some workshops, one of which is Terry Lynn Carrington, if I get the name correct. What's going to happen out at the uni when Terry comes to visit?
We're the education sponsors of the festival. Excuse me, I've got a cough.
You may cough, Rob. We'll allow you to do that. We've explained where the cough button is and we can get that out of the way fairly promptly.
No, we're education partners, so every year we get artists coming out to Monash, and also we get these artists to interact with our students, and we put on performances at the Melbourne Recital Centre and other venues. This year, as you say, we've got Terry Lynn Carrington, a brilliant drummer, somebody that's been the last 20 years very important in jazz, has a strong voice, and she'll be coming out with her band and they'll be doing a workshop.
What happens in the workshops, Rob? I can understand that she comes out with a band and they set themselves up, they play a few pieces. That's a concert. What's a workshop do for the students and anyone who turns up to watch?
Well, it varies. It depends on what they've got prepared or not prepared. But these artists are very much used to doing workshop. And so what normally happens is they will play, and then they'll explain some of the aspects of what they do, and then they'll ask for questions, and then ask questions of the audience, and maybe get some people up to play to expand on that, you know, their theories or their approaches to composition or approaches to performance.
And when you get the various artists coming in, do they all have different things to say, or do some of them have similar philosophies behind what they do?
I think there's a lot of similarity. Because obviously it's a language that is a language throughout the world. So there's going to be a language. Part of that language will be a language that everybody knows, and they don't know what we teach. They'll have an idea, of course, but I think more so they will discuss what they do, their point of difference. They'll understand that's what they'll need to be looking at, because they'll know that we teach theory and, you know, ear training and the like.
All the standard boring stuff.
All the exciting stuff, really. You know, it's exciting stuff because you know that you're going to get better, you see. So,
well, that's,
you know,
true. Yeah.
If it was sort of crappy stuff, everyone would get really upset and say, I'm not really developing. But everyone gets excited and goes, oh, yeah, gee, that's light bulb material for me.
Do you find that students do actually take note of all these standard learnings? Mm. Do the students themselves actually notice themselves improving as they go through these exercises?
Yes. I mean, as we go forward, there's something maybe you want to ask Ash, but as they go forward, we assess them, we give them feedback, and we've just recently brought in a video recording of their performances at performance practice so they can review that. And then they come to consultation time or talk to their teachers about how they're going. And usually when they perform, we give them feedback and say, hey, that's, you know, there's improvement here. This is where you've improved. And also in the assessment, the old rubric or the new rubric. Because it used to be just somebody's comments, but now we've got rubrics. And they're not too, they used to, you know, I've done a lot of rubrics over the years, and some of them are very complex. But these are quite clear. So it'll be focus on your rhythm, sense of rhythm, your sound, your time, your understanding of the style, your creativity, presentation, all those things. And and students get marked on that, and then they go, okay, well, if my time's not good, I'm going to have to work on that, you know? Yeah. So there's no sort of debate.
Ash, do you find that you have been, and are you your second year student, a trumpet player?
Trumpet player.
Excellent. Do you find that as you go through the education process, you can feel yourself improving?
Yeah, like it's a super slow process, like working hard every day. And I guess if you're exposed to your own playing every day, it's really hard to see yourself improve. But yeah, like as Rob said, we've got video recordings, which is really good to look back on. And like when you're performing in the moment, it's hard to concentrate on how you're performing, like what's going on. So yeah, to have that reference point, it's good to see. And yeah, like I don't know, I hear things differently when I'm playing to when it's recorded. Like it just sounds different in your head, I guess. I don't know if that's just the nature of the instrument, but yeah.
What's the reason for that, Rob? Why does a student hear things differently when they're playing than what they can see on the playback?
I think as a student, a lot of the focus is on yourself and what you're doing. And as you mature, we hear a lot of fantastic young musicians, but they're really just playing what they know, and it's amazing. But as the older musicians or the more experienced musicians then have an understanding of what the ensemble is doing and respond to the ensemble a little bit more. So that's why it sounds a little bit different. And we talk about that a lot in performance classes, is, you know, the process of listening to the ensemble, responding to the ensemble, because the music becomes a lot more exciting. And that takes time and skill, and because, you know, it's difficult to play. You've got to play your instrument, then you've got to play the piece, the composition. When you're cognitively thinking, you are... there's a lot going on, so a lot needs to be second nature, and you know what I'm saying?
Like yeah, 100%.
Second nature approach to what you're doing. So, what you know, we get our students to think about playing along just to the drums, you know, so they can learn thinking at themselves and the drums, and then the bass, and so you know they develop these skills. It's not just about me.
So it starts out as it's all about me, and then becomes. It's about us, the collective group that enables you to do things like play in large orchestras and large bands and small bands and all sorts of bands, including the Monash University Jazz Futures concert. Mm-hmm. Now, that's on the Tuesday the 5th of June, and that is featuring Terry Lynn Carrington.
Yes.
So you've got the workshop on the Monday and then the actual show on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
How does it all work? Do you have a pre-planned set of music that you run through with Terry during the workshop, or is it selected at the time, or do you make it up as you go?
Well, you know, this negotiation starts a while ago, you know, a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, where we ask Terry Lynn, what would you like to do with our students? And we've had a history of doing this because, you know, a lot of artists will say, well, you know, what's the standard like? And then you say, okay, so we do this every year, and we've had Joe Lovano, Charles Lloyd, Terence Blanchard, Hermeto Pascal, and they go, okay, so the quality's good, and I'm in very fine company here. So, you know, it becomes a prestigious thing for them as well, you know. They think, and they are too. We don't pick chumps, let's put it that way. And so what we do is then we send all the information to the students, the charts, the recordings, and then we say, okay, we organise the rehearsals for them, and they'll rehearse themselves. We have a bit of a leadership sort of situation within the ensembles. Obviously, you get the third years to oversee it a little bit. And then they do the rehearsals. And when Terry Lynn comes in, they'll do two-hour rehearsals with Terry Lynn, and then one two-hour rehearsal. Then we'll do a sound check rehearsal on the day prior to the MRC concert.
So the rehearsal is the workshop.
No, separate.
The workshop's separate.
That's right.
Oh, wow. So 2 hours of workshop, 2 hours of rehearsal, and a run through before the show itself.
And that's a rehearsal come sound check. We've also got another workshop with the individual musicians within the ensemble. So the piano players will have a choice to go to the piano, Aaron Parks, or to the drummer. I think there's a DJ or record, you know, cool. scratcher, you know, in this ensemble. Yeah. So yeah. You know, so they, wow. the music technology dudes can go to hang out with that person, and he or she will go through what they do within the ensemble and talk about, you know, just give a new insight to what they do, you know, hopefully to the students and inspire them.
When you've got an artist such as Terry Lynn Carrington coming out, the music that you choose, does that include her music as well?
It's all her music.
It's all her music.
So it's a focus on that artist. It's a study of that artist. So they play the music of Terry Lynn, as we've done with Joe Lovano or Charles Lord, it's a study of their music.
Oh, wow. And Ash, are you involved in the Terry Lynn gig?
Yeah, I am. I'm super excited because we're doing, well, my ensemble anyway, we're doing a bunch of tunes from her album Mosaic, and that's a super, like, I think it's a great album because, like, I've got a heap of role models in the band. There's Ingrid Jensen, which is like one of my all-time favorite trumpet players, and Esperanza Spalding's this awesome bass player. So it's like, yeah, it's really exciting just to, well, I didn't know about the album before I got asked to be in this project. But yeah, it's great to have a listen to that and explore the music, sort of transcribe what's happening and try and get into it as deep as I can.
What's been the most difficult thing for you, Ash, in preparing for this concert and the workshop and the rehearsals? What's been the most challenging thing to think about?
The music is actually really difficult. Like some of the charts, yeah, super challenging for the instrument. It's hard to play on the trumpet. So yeah, just, I guess, rehearsing that. But it's been really good because the people in my ensemble are super friendly, so we get together, you know, in the practice rooms and with the metronome, you know, try and sort out all the tricky bits. But yeah, super excited.
Well, it's good to hear. So Monday on the 4th of June is the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
10 a.m. that's available to all through the
that's
festival,
right? It's open to the general public, that workshop.
So the workshop is for the musos, but anyone can come along and watch.
Anyone can come.
That's out at Monash University.
Yep, and
in School Clayton.
The School of Music Auditorium. Not
in the brand new Alexander Theatre?
No.
No. I must get out there and have a look at that because it looks fantastic from the
outside.
Well,
you know, David, just changed the subject a little bit, but not really. There's a new jazz club coming.
Now, I had heard a little rumour about that, Rob.
Yeah. So that would be very exciting.
I'm hoping to have a chat to Paul at some stage about that.
Yeah, Paul Grabowski is overseeing it.
And it's out in Clayton, which means it's actually out in the middle of a whole range of people who don't have to travel into the city and out again.
That's right. The Southeast Corridor, it's the fastest growing area in Australia, I think.
Very much so.
But having said, it was quite interesting. I was talking to Paul last week about this, and Monash University was born in the 60s, and it was all about progress. It was in a farming belt, really. They invested a lot of money in fantastic people in science and medicine and law that were world leaders, and it really made a statement about the university, but their thing was about being progressive, and that's what we feel is being progressive. And to have these new venues, it'll be amazing.
Well, it'll be absolutely amazing because it'll be out in the middle of a huge population of people. It'll be a beautiful opportunity for students to be able to participate in the programming, as well as bringing out musos from where you'd normally have to come to the city, out to the country, so to speak, to enjoy.
Well, it's quite interesting. I mean, I live in North Caulfield, just near St Kilda, and I go against the traffic, so it takes me 20 minutes to Clayton, whereas if I was going to the city, it'd probably take me 1 hour.
Much longer indeed.
Yeah, it's probably 45 minutes and get a park and, you know, it's a trick. Everyone says Clayton, but it's actually a trick. It's quite easy to get out there.
It certainly is indeed. I agree entirely, Rob. So Terry Lynn Carrington and her social science project is actually performing a couple of times on Saturday the 2nd of June and Sunday the 3rd of June at the Jazz Lab.
Yep.
And she has a band that includes Casa Overall, Debo Ray, Matthew Stevens, Morgan Gurin and Aaron Parks. And then she's performing with the students and staff from Monash University.
No, just the students.
Just the students. On Tuesday the 5th of June at 7 o'clock. And you've got a beautiful location in the salon at the Melbourne Recital Centre.
That's right, yes. We've got two concerts. We've got one with the novella at the Jazz Lab with Tony Malaby and Chris Davis. And then we do the one at the salon. And this has been a regular occurrence at the salon.
It's a great opportunity for us to be entertained, but also for the students and staff to get out into the recital centre and put on a gig in traditional public venues rather than the university practice rooms and theatrettes and the like.
Yeah, I think it's important. We get our students to play at very diverse venues. They do a jazz lab or, you know, prestigious venues, Jazz Lab, Paris Cat, Uptown, and playing at the MRC is a real experience, but especially with an international artist. And, you know, it's something that they learn a lot about the process and the coming into a really high-class venue where they have to turn up on time and dress a certain way, and there's the sound system they have to deal with and the acoustics of the room, the sonic environment of that sort of playing in that, not on a stage, but sort of in a room situation. It's it's a great experience. And, you know, they learn that they have to be flexible as a performer and also, you know, have to stand up, you know, with the pressure of performing. And that means they have to think about the sort of preparation that's needed. And that I think that's a really important experience.
Do you feel pressured, Ash?
Oh, yeah, I guess a little. It's very scary, like, especially to be playing with someone as heavy as her and, you know, the third years as well. Oh, well, everyone that's in the ensemble, like, regardless what year they are in, you know, they're incredible. So it's a great thing to work towards, you know, practice hard towards. It's really exciting.
Well, good luck. Go well. I'm sure you will. For more information, we can go to melbournejazz.com for tickets and general information about the workshops on Monday the 4th of June and Tuesday the 5th, Terry Lynn Carrington and Social Science Workshop on the 4th, and Tony Mellaby and Chris Davis Workshop on the 5th, and of course the actual gigs themselves, which includes that Tuesday 5th of June at the Salon at Melbourne Recital Centre, all at melbournejazz.com. Rob, Ash, thank you so much for being part of Bent Notes here tonight. We really do appreciate your time.
Yeah,
our pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.